that was originally from Argentina. She did her doctoral work with Antonio Assay at SICFO in Barcelona. And now she's doing a postdoc in Bristol, Pescu, and she's going to talk today about steering.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for inviting me to present our work here. Basically, within the next hour, I would like to introduce you to the notion of steering and how we picture steering beyond quantum mechanics and what we mean by that. So hopefully by the end of the talk, we will have a clear vision on that. And this is a joint work with Nicolas Brunet, Daniel Cavalcanti, Paul Skripczyk, and Tomasz Fartesi. And well, let's perhaps start from something that we might be more familiar with, which is the case of entanglement or the case of non-locality. So let's begin here. In a typical entanglement setup or experiment, what we have are two parties, say Alice and Bob, and they share a state. And they can perform different actions on their state. They assume that they are performing measurements, that they have quantum states in their systems. And by doing these types of actions, they can perform different things with their state. So for instance, they can perform protocols for doing quantum teleportation or some other information tasks like quantum key distribution. So the study of states shared by Alice and Bob in this type of setup allows us to perform this kind of, for instance, information tasks. But that's not the only thing that we can do and the only approach that we can take to actions, performing actions in a state-like separated setup on our system. So it could also be the case that for some reason we have Alice and Bob, and they are in their respective labs, but now they don't want to assume that they have a quantum state or that they can perform controlled operations on their systems. So the only thing that they want to do, for whatever reason it is that they have, is to rely on the information of the inputs, the measurement inputs that they perform on the system, and the outcomes of these measurements. So basically, here, in this type of scenario, they have information on these two classical labels, X and A for Alex, and Y and B for Bob. Mm-hmm. So in these other types of setups, then, quantum mechanics has allowed us to perform other types of information tasks, such as device-independent quantum key distribution or randomness amplification and expansion. So these, for instance, are two fairly different types of setups that with which you can perform or implement some information tasks, and depending on which are the assumptions that your experiment has, you're capable of doing different things. So now, this is something that people have studied. So for instance, here, usually people study entanglement witnesses, and here, Bell inequalities. And now what I want to introduce you is to something which is in between. Mm-hmm. So what I will talk about in the next hour is about steering. So here we have something that is not symmetric anymore. So we have some parties that assume that they have a quantum state or that the description of whatever is happening in the lab can be very well approximated by a quantum description of the state and the measurements. But for some reason, the other parties, or some other parties, do not do so. And the only information that they keep track of within the experiments is the classical label of the measurements and the outcomes. Mm-hmm. In some cases, for instance, in the cases of cryptography, this is something that people like doing because they don't want to assume anything on the inner workings of the devices for security reasons. But here, we don't want to take that step. So we don't want to have any stories or any explanations of why some of the parties only want to rely on that classical information. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I will depict them as a black box just for pictorial reasons. So in a typical steering experiment then, what we have, for instance, in this bipartite case is Alice with a particle that has a certain description as a marginal state, and Bob with a part of the shared system and a device that performs measurements and obtains classical outcomes. So in such an experiment then, what they have are different copies of this system, and Bob, in each of the rounds of the experiment, performs a measurement and obtains an output in his share of the system, and by doing so, he steers or prepares conditionally a state on Alice's side. Mm-hmm. So basically, within a steering experiment, what we have at the end of the day, or the objects that we want to study, are these conditional states here. Mm-hmm. So for each of the measurements that Bob can perform on his share of the system, what he does is he prepares an ensemble of states on Alice's side. And depending on the outcome that he obtains is, which is the precise state that has been prepared. And each of these ensembles is consistent with the marginal state of Alice's particle originally. Mm-hmm. And to define a little bit more of notation that will be useful during the talk, the collection of all the ensembles for all the possible choices of the measurements by Bob is what we refer to as an assemblage. And please notice that here we do not work with normalized states. So basically the trace of the state that has been prepared on Alice's side by Bob basically tells us the probability that such a state is prepared. So basically the probability that Bob obtains outcome B whenever he measures Y. So this is this phenomenon of steering where, you know, Bob remotely steers states on Alice's lab was first introduced in the 1930s by Schrödinger, but was recently revived in a more information theoretic approach a couple of years ago. And since then, what people have traditionally studied within this type of experiments is the following. Well, if the states and devices that they have access to are explained by quantum mechanics, then these conditional states can be obtained by performing the trace on Bob's side of now the measurement that he performs on his share of the state. So basically that's how these conditional states are prepared or are explained via quantum mechanics. And the question that people ask is, given this collection of conditional states, so this collection of ensembles, could it have a classical explanation? That is, could they have arisen by Bob performing measurements on a mixed state? Or is it the case that we do need entanglement between Alice and Bob such that those states can be explained within this setup? So that's the question that has been asked since steering started being studied. And there are lots of results on this that mainly could be perhaps phrased into groups. So on the one hand, similarly to Bell non-locality, where people studied Bell inequalities and violations of Bell inequalities, here what you can do is to study steering inequalities. So now, given that we have a matrix, so a density matrix for each of the states, and not just a conditional probability distribution, we don't have coefficients, but we have instead operators. So a steering inequality is basically a collection of operators. And this is the figure of merit that evaluates steering inequality. And for some choices of those operators in the steering inequality, we can have upper bounds on this expression, given that all these states or all these assemblages that have a classical explanation can achieve. So basically, if you have a collection of conditional states that violate this bound, then surely they were prepared by using an entangled state between the two parties. On the other hand, Also, similarly to the case of non-locality, you can study the set of classical assemblages, so the set of these conditional states that can be prepared by performing measurements on a mixed state. And that is, you know, the analog of studying the local polytope. Mm-hmm. So given an assemblage, you can test whether it has a membership on this set of classic of unsteerable assemblages or not. So basically, that's like a quick overview of the approach that has been taken so far. But now what we do is the following. The question that we ask now is, instead, given an assemblage, could it have a quantum explanation? So given a set of conditional states prepared on Alice Lab, can it arise as performing measurements on a shared quantum state? So more precisely, as I was saying, given a collection of ensembles on Alice's side that are compatible with the state of her particle, does there exist a quantum state and measurement operators for Bob such that these conditional states have a quantum explanation? Mm-hmm. So that is the question that we ask. And for these bipartite scenarios, the answer is yes. Everything that can happen in Alice Lab has a quantum explanation. And basically, the proof of this is a direct application of a theorem that was discovered about a decade ago by Gisan, Huston-Jus, and Wouters. However, this theorem only holds for bipartite scenarios. So now the question is, what happens in multipartite scenarios? Do we recover the same result, or can we get something a little bit more interesting? And well, yeah, we do get something a bit more interesting, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So now let's move on to one of the simplest multipartite scenarios that we can have. Hmm? So now we move on from two parties to three parties. And what we do is we add Charlie here. That Charlie also doesn't rely on the quantum description of whatever is happening in his lab, but is only interested on keeping track of the classical information of the inputs and outputs. So this is the type of setup that we will study, that I will talk about since now until the end of the talk. And now, the conditional states prepared on Alice's side will be labeled by whatever Bob does in his lab, so his input and his output, Y and B, and whatever Charlie does in his lab, so Z and Z. So similarly to the previous case, for a fixed measurement of Bob and Charlie, there an ensemble of states is produced on Alice Lab, such that each of these ensembles is consistent with the original state that she had for her particle. And now the assemblage would be the collection of all these conditional states, where now we have more indices here. And the trace of these unnormalized states will give us the conditional probability distribution for Bob and Charlie to obtain outcomes B and C, given that they have measured Y and Z. But now, these are not the only things, the only constraints that we can think of within this experiment. Because here, we have Bob and Charlie that are performing actions in different labs. So there are further constraints that these assemblages should satisfy, which are basically given by the no signaling between Bob and Charlie. So on top of the properties that the assemblage has because it is a steering experiment, there are also further constraints that these conditional states also satisfy because of this no signaling constraint. And this arises because we are in a multipartite steering scenario. So basically here, no signaling, this would be no signaling from Bob to Charlie. Here, when we sum up over Bob's outcome, then the reduced state on Alice's lab should be independent of his choice of measurement. So basically, when we trace out Bob, the only thing that Alice or Alice's state can depend on is whatever Charlie's doing in his lab. So now, given that we have such a general description of what an assemblage can be, the question is, for given a set of conditional states that satisfies all these properties, does there always exist a shared quantum state, measurement operators for Bob and Charlie, such that this assemblage, these conditional states, have a quantum realization? So that is the question that we ask now. If you have questions, just let me know and about what the problem is or the notation.
What did the M come from?
What M?
M.
Here? Oh, so the question is, so this is the question, this green line is the question.
Okay, did it exist?
Whether there exists a quantum state, measurement operators for Bob, and measurement operators for Charlie, such that the assemblage has a quantum realization. So basically, these are the conditional states that are prepared on Alice's side when Bob performs this measurement and Charlie performs this measurement on their shared state.
No signaling constraint, is that imposed, or is that just?
So basically, forget about this line. These are the general conditions for a no signaling assemblage, so that they recover the original marginal state for Alice in Alice's side when you sum up over all the possible outcomes for a given measurement choice in both parties, and that they satisfy no signaling. So the no signaling constraints are these two. So when you sum over B here and here, you obtain something that does not depend on Y or Y prime. And here, so this is like no signaling from Bob to Alice Charlie, and this would be no signaling from Charlie to Alice Bob here, when you forget about Charlie and you only keep Alice and Bob in the picture.
And the question at the bottom is?
The question is, given an assemblage, so a set of conditional states prepared on Alice's lab that satisfy this normalization constraint here and this no signaling constraints here, does it always exist a quantum state and measurements that recover those matrices? So that is the question that we ask. And before answering it, let's see an example. So we are again within this picture. Now we focus on the case where we have dichotomic measurements, only two dichotomic measurements per party. And in addition, the marginal state on Alice's side is just a maximally mixed state. So we have that case, and consider the following assemblage. So whenever Bob and Charlie measure this, perform these measurements here, so 0, 0, 0, 1, or 1, 0, then they will prepare a maximally mixed state with probability 1/2 every time that their outputs coincide, and it will never happen that the outputs don't coincide. And whenever they both perform measurement 1, then we know that they will prepare a maximally mixed state with probability 1/2 on Alice's side, and that their outcomes will always be anticorrelated. So this is a well-defined no-signaling assemblage, and we can see that whenever we sum over either Bob or Charlie, we not only get something that is independent on the party that is being traced out, but also something that is independent on the party that is remaining. So this no signaling constraints are indeed satisfied. However, the claim is that this assemblage that satisfies the no signaling constraints and that recovered the state of Alice's side does not have a quantum realization. And the way that we do so, to prove the claim, is actually to get down to the probabilities. So if you remember the previous slide, the probabilities for Bob and Charlie to obtain B and C, given that they have measured Y and Z, is given by the trace of these conditional states. And provided that the assemblage has a quantum realization, then this conditional probability distribution would also have a quantum realization. However, if we take this example and we compute this probability distribution, what we get is a Pierre box. that we know cannot be reproduced by quantum mechanics. So basically, this assemblage here that satisfies the no signaling constraints has no quantum realization. So basically, here we see that there is room for a set of conditional states prepared on Alicide not to have a quantum realization, even though they are still complaining with a more general principle, which is no signaling. However, even though this example is nice to illustrate the phenomenon, it's not quite nice in the sense that it relies on post-quantum non-locality. So basically, the way that we've proven that the assemblage does not have a quantum realization is by relying on the post-quantumness of the correlations between Bob and Charlie. So now, the next step that we take is to try to look for an example that does not rely on post-quantum non-locality. So basically, what I'm going to tell you about in the rest of the talk is the search for a non-trivial example that is an assemblage in this tripartite setup such that it is post-quantum. However, the correlations that you can obtain from them, not only by measuring Bob, but by considering Bob and Charlie, but also by taking Alice into account, so by all the possible tripartite conditional probability distributions that you can obtain from them, all these correlations are quantum. However, this assemblage is post-quantum. So that is what we are looking for.
What this would mean, like, from the perspective of, like, experimenter, like, that, like, locally, one thinks that there is still, like, quantum correlations, but when you combine all data from all observers, something
No.
Pops up, yeah?
Or basically, what it means is that if you want to detect the post-quantumness of the assemblage, so if you want to check that the assemblage has no quantum realization, or that Bob and Charlie have actually used post-quantum resources to generate these states in your lab, then it is not enough to test a Bell inequality. So you will have to test, for instance, steering inequality, or to do full tomography of the states and treat the study the states themselves, and not just the correlations that you can obtain from them.
Helen, should it be a tensor product in that kind of equation on the right-hand side? Or should it just be a regular product?
Where?
Your final
no,
equation.
It's a regular product, yes.
Regular product.
Yeah, it's not tensor and product.
I'm sorry, if I understood correctly, you want to say that the correlations between Bob and Charlie should be consistent with quantum theory.
Bob, Charlie, and Alice.
So how does that capture the fact that the correlations between Bob and Charlie constraint 2?
Oh, we want. So we want that. We want that these correlations are quantum.
Yes.
That's something that we want. Mm-hmm. I still haven't said how to impose it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we want, because the correlations, when you get this, so basically the way that you produce these correlations is by Alice performing a measurement on her state, obtaining an outcome, given that she has performed a measurement. And then he will have the classical labels for Bob and Charlie, so then they can compute this tripartite conditional probability distribution. So what we want is that this conditional probability distribution is quantum for whatever actions, whatever measurements Alice can perform on her share of the system. But however, the state that she was using to generate these quantum correlations is post-quantum. So it's like, for instance, when you have an entangled state, that perhaps if you perform measurements on your entangled state, you will never be able to have non-locality. However, you do have entanglement. This is the same. So we want the correlations to be quantum, even though the underlying resource is post-quantum. So in this case of non-locality that I was telling you about, the correlations that you obtain are local, even though the state that you use is entangled. Here, what you want is something, it's perhaps this, like an, it's not a perfect analogy, but something similar. So you want correlations that are quantum, even though the resource that you're using is post-quantum. and has no quantum explanation.
So the analogy with entanglement theory is something like witnessing entanglement without using Bell inequality violation.
Yes.
And here you're trying to witness post-quantumness.
Without having a post-quantum Bell inequality violation. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's the analogy. Mm-hmm. So now that it's clear what it is that we want to do, let me tell you a bit how we are going to test or impose these two properties. So in the first case, what we want is, given an assemblage, we want to be able to test if it is post-quantum. And to do so, we are going to use steering inequalities. So as I was telling you, we have a steering inequality is given by a collection of operators, and the figure of merit that the steering inequality has is this trace. Mm-hmm. So now, at the beginning of the talk, I was telling you about this classical bound, so to say. So the bound that you cannot violate if you have assemblages that have a classical explanation. So now we want something similar, but with a quantum bound. Mm-hmm. So basically, what we would like to have is the analog of Cyrilson's bound for steering inequalities. Mm-hmm. So that's the aim of this slide, basically. So if we have an assemblage and we plug it in here, and we have a value that is larger than this bound, then surely it is post-quantum, because it will violate the quantum bound. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is that, as people who work on non-locality know, that computing Cyrilson's bound is not easy, especially because the set of quantum correlations is not fully characterized, which also happens here. We don't have a full characterization of the set of quantum assemblages. So the way that we will tackle this problem is by finding an upper bound to this quantum bound. So it might or might not be tight, but we know that if we violate an upper bound to this quantum bound, then for sure we have something that goes beyond quantum mechanics. And the way that we will do so is we will optimize this expression, but now instead of doing so in the set of quantum assemblages, so Q, we will do it in a larger set, so a superset of this set of quantum assemblages, which, for those people who are familiar with the MPI hierarchy, is a generalization or an extension to steering scenarios of the 1 plus AB level of the MPI hierarchy. So, and this set here, Q tilde of assemblages that fully contains quantum assemblages, is very easy to characterize and is given by a semi-definite program. So performing this optimization here is something that a computer can do. And so if you have an assemblage that violates this almost quantum bound, then for sure that assemblage does not have a quantum realization. So basically that's the tool that we will use to test or to test if the assemblage that we find violates quantum mechanics. So now that I've told you how we are going to tackle this first property, now let's move on to the second one. So how to make sure that whatever correlations that Alice can produce will always be quantum. And for that, we need three ingredients. So on the one hand, since demanding that correlations are quantum is not something easy to impose, especially because the set of quantum correlations is not characterized, what we will do is impose something even stronger, which is that the correlations are local. So basically, we will ask that every correlation that can be produced by Alice has a quantum realization. And in the search, we will focus, just for the sake of searching for an example, on real qubit assemblages. And by real, I don't mean that they are real. That's something that people have asked me in previous talks. What I mean is that the entries of the they don't have a sigma y component. Mm-hmm. So just x z plane of the Bloch sphere. Mm-hmm. And what we will do then is, for these real qubit assemblages, we will search for one which is which produces local correlations for our projective measurements. We will get back there in a second. And once that we've found this assemblage that has this property here, we will adapt a protocol that appears in this paper by the Geneva people, Flavian, Marco Tullio Quintino, Joe, and Nicolas Brunet, to extend this qubit assemblage to a qutrit assemblage that produces local tripartite conditional probability distribution for whatever POVMs that Alice Cram produced on her share of the system. So basically, these are the three ingredients. Impose instead that the correlations are local, find qubit assemblages that give local correlations for projective measurements, and then extend it finally to a qutrit assemblage that is gives local correlations for whatever POVMs that Alice can perform. So in what follows, I will focus on this second point, which is perhaps the trickier, so to say. So I apologize for the math that will appear, but it's unavoidable. So first, let me set up some notation. So here, by these pi's here, we denote projectors, so a projective measurement performed by Alice. And here is a noisy version of the projective measurement. So every time that I say a noisy measurement or a noisy projective measurement, what I mean is that this projective measurement has been mixed with white noise, basically here. And I will also need, for the rest of the explanation, the notion of a noisy assemblage, which is an assemblage where the conditional states are basically the same as the original assemblage, but mixed with a different probability to the white noise. So basically, that would be the notion of a noisy assemblage. So the first thing that we need to notice for this search, for the search of the example, is that performing noisy projective measurements on an assemblage gives exactly the same statistics as performing projective measurements on a noisy version of the assemblage. So basically, as far as the correlations are concerned, you can't tell whether the noise comes from the measurement or from the states. And the second main point is to notice that noisy measurements are linear combinations of a finite number of projective measurements. And perhaps the next figure will clarify that. So let's suppose that we have a finite set of projective measurements. So this is like a 2D version of the Bloch sphere for the sake of the explanation. So basically, we are working with qubits. So we have here the Bloch sphere, and these are the Bloch vectors of the projective measurements that we are performing. And let's assume that we have, or we find, an assemblage such that it gives local correlations whenever Alice performs this collection of this specific collection of projective measurements. So let's assume that we have that.
But they don't have to sum up to a unit, yeah? It's just
collection, yeah? Well, sorry, so this would be each of these actually gives you like outcome zero, and then one minus the identity of this one will give you the outcome one of this measurement. And this one will be another projective measurement, and this will be another projective measurement. So each of these directions actually mean outcome zero, and then one minus the identity of that will give you the outcome one. Yeah, sorry if that was not clear enough.
No, I meant like, I was thinking that like whether x1, xm, like when you take the associated projectors, other within the set supposed to somehow collectively to a unit.
Oh, no, because each of them are a different measurement.
Yes.
So, they are fully independent. So, if that is the case, then That assemblage will also give local correlations for everything that lies inside this polygon. Because every point inside this polygon is just the weighted sum of its vertices. And if you have a local model for these projectors in the boundary, then you will also have a local model for their mixture. So every time that you have a local model for this finite set, then you have a local model for whatever it is, whatever noisy measurement that you perform inside. In particular, for those in the boundary of this white circle. So if you keep the measurements in the boundary of this white circle, and you transfer that noise to the assemblage, then what you will find is an assemblage, a noisy version of it, but an assemblage still, that gives local correlations for everything that is in the boundary of the whole block sphere. So that is what we have in mind. So in the search, what we have is we focus on a certain finite set of projective measurements. Depending on how many elements this set has, is the critical noise that it will tolerate, so the radius of this white circle here, which will give us the noise that we have to put into the assemblage so that it gives local correlations for all projective measurements. So basically, that's the logic behind it. So now this is the search. So basically, as this finite set of projective measurements, what we took were four. Before it was enough to already find an example. So we took four dichotomic measurements in the XZ plane of the Bloch sphere, because since we are working with real qubit assemblages, it is enough to focus on that slice of the Bloch sphere. And what we did was the following, this following search. So pick a set of operators that is steering inequality. So pick that. Now, it's be a semi-definite program you can compute, which is the almost quantum bound of that inequality. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you can also ask for the maximal violation of the inequality via these assemblages that give local correlations. Because on top of those constraints that I was telling you about, the normalization and the no signaling constraints, now you can impose that the probabilities for this finite set of four dichotomic measurements lie inside the local polytope, which is a linear program. And you can compute that. And you can not only find the maximal violation of the inequality, but also the assemblage that achieves that maximum violation. And now what we do is we transfer the noise that for those four measurements is just sinus of pi over 8, we transfer that noise into this assemblage that gives the maximal violation, and we check what is the violation that this noisy assemblage achieves. If that value of this noisy assemblage is still larger than the almost quantum value, then we are done. We found a qubit assemblage that gives local correlations for all possible projective measurements, and that violates the almost quantum bound. If not, if actually the noise was too much and we lost the violation of the inequality in the process, then what we do is we change the inequality and we start over. And by doing so many times in a loop, changing inequality every time, we luckily converged into a case that actually the noise doesn't kill the violation of the inequality. And that is this plot that I always put it here because it's the result that we have, but I don't know if it gives any meaning. So basically, here what we have are the four different measurements by Bob and Charlie. So this is the ensemble that they produce in Ali's lab when they measure 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, and 1, 1. And just this assemblage that we found also satisfies a property that is symmetric between the exchange of Bob and Charlie. So for instance, here you see only three lines instead of four, but it's because two of them overlap.
And
this is a result of simulation, yes?
Yes.
So if someone is able to reproduce this in laboratory, this is the beginning of post-quantum theory, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
So this would be a collection of states that, yeah, if you're able to somehow prepare this in an experiment in Alice's lab, then yes, you will be verifying the phenomenon. Although I have no idea how such a thing could be produced in Alice's lab, but yeah. So, well, basically, this is a post-quantum qubit assemblage that gives quantum correlations for projective measurements. But now the question is, well, but Alice could always perform a POVM instead of projective measurements, so could the post-quantumness of the assemblage be revealed via using POVMs instead of projective measurements? And in order to say, no, yeah.
Can I just ask for one point of clarification?
Yes.
Your mu equal to cos pi by 8, if I understand correctly, this is the amount of noise corresponding to a circle which fits inside the diamond, because you only have the x and the z measurements?
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
It seems like overkill to demand that the correlations of the projective measurements are fully local. Right? I mean,
yes.
You'd get something if it was just quantum.
Mm-hmm.
It has to just be pre-post quantum.
Yes, yeah,
so
it's an overkill, but...
It's because it's easier to test?
Because it's easier to test. So we said, okay, historically what we said is, well, let's demand that correlations are local and let's run it while we think of, well, which type of quantumness or which part of the quantum set we would like to consider. And in the meantime, we got the results. So, yeah, it is an overkill, and perhaps if... We don't demand that the correlations are local, but take something larger that is within the quantum set, we can get better resistance to noise or something that is more, like, perhaps something friendlier and not just this plot. Mm-hmm. So now, in order to address the POVM issue, what we do is we move on to a Q-treat assemblage. So basically, we take our solutions, so we take this example here, and we construct this Q-treat assemblage for Alice's lab. And the protocol in the paper that I showed you in the previous slides proves, or an adaptation of the protocol, proves that this Q-treat assemblage actually gives quantum correlations, or actually local correlations, for all POVMs by Alice, in Alice that Alice can produce, given that the qubit 1 gives quantum correlations. Mm-hmm. Which is the case here. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see that actually Bob and Charlie used more than quantum resources to generate this set of conditional states on Alice's side, then you do need to perform tomography and to test steering inequality, and you cannot just rely on a Bell inequality violation. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, steering, or post-quantum steering, is fundamentally different from post-quantum non-locality. So one doesn't imply the other. Hmm? So
when you switch to quick, you have to recompute a new upper bound of the steering inequality?
Well, actually, the upper bound for the steering inequality is what tells you that this qubit assemblage here is post-quantum. So, and since from the Q-treat assemblage, you can go back to the qubit assemblage by a local filtering, then you cannot create post-quantumness there. So basically, you don't need to consider a Q-treat steering inequality because all the post-quantumness is certified at the level of the qubit one. Mm-hmm. So to sum up, what we've done in our work is to present a way of think of post-quantum phenomena in steering scenarios, so how to define or how to see steering beyond the capabilities of quantum mechanics. And for that, we needed to move on to multipartite scenarios. Mm-hmm. And there, we saw that post-quantum steering is genuinely a new effect, so it does not, it's not implied by post-quantum non-locality. So this tells us yet another difference between bipartite setting, like Alice and Bob, and multipartite scenarios. For instance, we know that for bipartite scenarios, there exists always the Schmidt decomposition of the states. However, there is no such analog in multipartite scenarios in the case of entanglement. So this is, that is, for instance, one difference between when you work on bipartite cases and when you want to move on to multipartite cases. This is yet another difference. So that one thing that this is like yet another proof that the structure of multipartite, the multipartite Hilbert space is fundamentally different from that of a, just a bipartite one. So open questions that we have actually loads of open questions, but I came up with three that perhaps capture the interests that I have right now. And so can we now gain some insight on the characterization of quantum phenomena from now this existence of post-quantum steering? So in the case of non-locality, there exists this whole approach of trying to characterize quantum correlations from physical or information theoretic principles. And that has gave us some insight on what is the nature of quantum correlations, or at least basic properties that we would like to have or to maintain. So can we learn more about quantum theory because from this type of now setups? Mm-hmm. Can we learn properties of what quantum phenomena should satisfy now that we know that something beyond quantum theory could exist in this type of setups? Mm-hmm. There's also now the question of a general framework to deal with steering, because so far everything had been quantum, so by only having quantum states and measurements, we could explain everything that was happening steering-wise in the lab. But now that we know that there is something beyond quantum mechanics, we could have a more general framework like that of no signaling correlations in non-locality. So such a framework is still missing and is something that it would be nice to have. And that would help us to, for instance, quantify quantumness or post-quantumness of the assemblages and to study different principles to try to characterize quantum assemblages and so on. And finally, so last but not least, applications of this. So from a correlations point of view, we know that, for instance, if Eve had access to post-quantum resources, she could perhaps learn or cheat in quantum cryptography. Mm-hmm. So, you know, more secure protocols have to be devised in order to prevent post-quantum attacks. So can post-quantum steering help in performing, in the performance of information tasks? Cryptography is, or not cryptography, but quantum key distribution, for instance, is a tricky thing because it's set up in a bipartite scenario where post-quantum steering doesn't exist. So are there information theoretic applications, or multipartite actually information theoretic applications, where post-quantum steering would help us on top of quantum mechanics? Mm-hmm. And that's it. Thank you very much for your attention.
So one way of construing what you mean by post-quantum steering would be where the state, the sort of ensemblage in Alice's lab, themselves are not quantum, they're sort of, that goes beyond.
I'm sorry, can you?
Where those states themselves are not quantum. Because in your case, the states themselves were quantum, they were still.
Yes, so the states are still quantum, but. Right. The question is whether Bob and Charlie need to have access to post-quantum resources in order to prepare those quantum states.
Right. So, but is there any interest? Would there be any interest in asking questions when you actually generalize that as well, where you allow the states not to be? I don't see any interesting questions there.
Well, perhaps. Well, there are many possible explanations of it. Perhaps the state that the three parties share, it is post-quantum. However, after performing the operations in Bob and Charlie's side, whatever is left on Alice's side has a quantum explanation.
Right.
So that's a possible way of viewing it. Mm-hmm. So even if the whole thing needs a post-quantum state, after performing the measurements in Bob and Charlie's side, the marginal state on the other side is collapsing to something that has a quantum explanation.
Another question. So in the end, you had to run a program to really find this effect. So do you have an intuition, or can you say what the feature is of quantum theory that allows this anomaly for multipartite?
No, we still don't have an intuition. That's something that we would like to have.
You must have had, but you went after this effect, so you had a sense it might be there, but you have no intuition as to what the...
We had no intuition of what it would be, which is thought that there could be something there, so that's why we started the search. And, well, we actually didn't know if there would be something, but we hoped that there would be, and we found it. So,
right.
So that's another thing that we still would like to have, like perhaps an analytical description of such an example, because this is numerics, so it would be good to have an analytical example of such a assemblage that doesn't have a quantum realization.
A related question, but you use your assumption of quantum theory to describe the assemblages rather than GPT states.
Mm-hmm.
When you say insight on the characterization of quantum phenomena as one of the motivations, a lot of those characterizations kind of start with an operational language and then try to get down to quantum, like, you know, for getting down to the zeros and bounds, for example. But other results, a smaller positive results, assume that there's some quantum somewhere. Like there's some work that's been done on, you know, if you assume your theory is locally quantum together with some other assumptions, then you can get both on again. So is there some slogan similar to that? Like, should I think of this as, if you assume that things are locally quantum, then, you know, maybe we can try to find some axioms which would eliminate the post-quantum assemblages
the scope or the intuition that we have behind it. So the thing that basically motivated us is that, you know, within this whole scope of characterizing quantum correlations from the outside, we unfortunately always ended up in almost quantum correlations instead of quantum ones. So one of the explanations that we can come up with is, well, perhaps the whole scope is too restricted to actually tell the difference between quantum and almost quantum. Perhaps the fact that we are forgetting everything and only considering classical labels is what perhaps restricts this approach, and we always end up there instead of where we want. So what if now we move on to a scenario where at least one of the parties is allowed to conserve quantum mechanics locally, and see if perhaps there the fact that one of the parties, you know, has locally quantum mechanics helps you with this scope that you were mentioning to actually recover quantum assemblages. So that's like also one of the things to try to see if try to test whether in quantum correlations the whole approach is doomed by the fact that it's too simplistic. So to see if here we recover what we want, well, perhaps that's the problem. It's like yet another search trying to understand correlations in general.
Well, I mean, on that note, it seems like if experimentally, it's not going to happen, it violates an inequality, you'd say, well, then quantum mechanics is not a sufficient explanation for our universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, because you derived the upper bound using almost quantum, if you violated that, you would say the set of almost quantum correlations is not sufficient to explain our universe. But you could do it in a more sort of tailored way. So you restricted the correlations to be local, because you knew that was definitely quantum. But
mm-hmm.
presumably you could take any physical theory, let's say level one of the hierarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, let me demand that the correlations are within the level
mm-hmm.
one, and yet I can violate a steering inequality, which I derive using level one.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, then level one is not a character description of the universe. So you can sort of use
mm-hmm.
each level in both the correlations and in deriving the steering inequality, and
yeah.
sort of a self-consistency.
Yes. Yes, yes, that's something that could be done. Mm-hmm. The whole scope was within this initial paper was to prove that there could be post-quantumness in the assemblage without noticing this post-quantumness at the level of correlations. So that's why we didn't use any of the levels of the MPI hierarchy, because those are like outer approaches to quantum set. So perhaps if we found an example, then we would say, well, perhaps it violates the steering inequality, but because there is some post-quantumness from the correlation that is being transferred into it. So that's why we wanted to make sure that the correlations were not post-quantum, and we asked local. But yeah, one could ask the assemblages to be almost quantum, for instance, and the correlations that they produce to be almost quantum as well, and to check if there are almost quantum, or if there are post-quantum assemblages that have almost quantum correlations and that they violate the almost quantum bound. That's something that can also be done. Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of, say, considering two copies of your resource or n copies? So yeah, there might be two reasons to do it. Maybe you want to think of rewiring, like in the non-locality case.
Yeah,
or maybe you want to actually model the tomography that you have to do at this lab just on that whole thing somehow. Just curious.
This is like fairly new, so yeah, all of those things have crossed our minds. We haven't done any because we just took this out of the oven very recently. So yes, all the things are open questions and things that would be very interesting to do, but we still haven't done it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you think that this kind of post-quantum steering phenomena would be, if there would be existing a structuralization of it, like for arbitrarily amount of agents, yeah, and so on, like some mathematical framework.
Can you speak up?
You don't hear me? Okay, so like, do you think that if there would be some sort of general mathematical structuralization of this phenomenal post-quantum steering, like
mm-hmm.
in a way with like GPTs deal with
mm-hmm.
non-locality, you think that it would be like more general than GPTs, or do you think it would be just, parallel development of some other aspect of non-quantumness?
I'm not sure how it could be a GPT, so perhaps it would be something parallel, but we still haven't thought of it. I don't have yet any intuition of where we would like to start developing such a framework.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it won't be a formalism like the GPT's one, but something slightly different.
Have you tried to do like some higher order, multi-agent calculations, or like trying to look into whether there is some sort of similar patterns appearing for like larger amount of agents than just three.
No.
So it's unclear what's there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not clear. Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
I'm wondering if, so we know that non-steerable, or I should say steerable assemblages have a connection with compatibility of measurements.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take your average row and multiply your assemblage on either side by root of the 1/2, that root of the minus 1/2, I get something that sums to identity, so this is now a collection of POVMs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me call that a multimeter. So a steerable assemblage gives me a multimeter whose different settings are all compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's any meaning to the post-quantum assemblages in the language of
mm-hmm.
measurement compatibility.
Well, that is a good question, but I'm not sure how to tackle it, because This construction that you were mentioning is actually the one that works for bipartite scenarios.
Yeah, right.
So with where there's no post-quantum steering. So we would have to come up with perhaps a similar recipe to try to give the formulation of the measurements. I'm not entirely sure how to do that. It would be really good if we could find one, but I'm not sure how to approach it.
You know, one possibility would be something, again, this is just a bipartite scenario, but even, you know, for incompatible measurements, you can sometimes not have an uncertainty principle. This is like uncertainty principle with quantum memory. If I get mm-hmm. to choose, you know, which measurement to do on this system based mm-hmm. on what measurement's going to be done on the analysis system, I can get perfect predictability even for incompatible measurements. So I just wonder whether maybe these post-quantum assemblages might yield sets of measurements for which, you know, even if you look at the uncertainty principles with quantum memory, you can't, you know, you still can't have perfect mm-hmm. predictability for all these measurements. Something like that.
Okay. Oh, but we could look into it.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the existence of post non-signaling steering, which is to say, subject to the correlations being no signaling, and you derive a constraint on a.
So basically, you drop the no signaling constraints at the level of the assemblages, but you demand them at the level of the correlations. That's what you mean.
Right. As in, is it ever possible that if you were to demand them at one, you might see something which violates the demand of the other?
Well, I would like to say no, but that if you impose no signaling at the level of the correlations, perhaps that is something that you need at the level of the assemblages. But because I've seen, I mean, it would be good if, for instance, no signaling was closed until this type of properties, but not quantum. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I don't have an intuition of what the result would be, but it would be really good if that was the answer.
I mean, in terms of like the research problem, it would be a much easier question to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yeah, that's a valid question.
Probably just a technical question. So generally, the NPD hierarchy, when you're maximizing a Bell inequality in a given region, the terms which get played around with in the matrix are probabilities. And so they're positive, or maybe they're not, but they correspond to single real numbers.
Yes.
Right? And here, each thing would sort of be an assemblage, right?
Yes.
So they're sort of blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you would need to impose that each block, even if you're searching in sort of the real assemblages, still has positive eigenvalues.
Yes.
So you're doing an SDP where the whole thing is positive eigenvalues, and then all the blocks are also.
Yeah, and that you have to impose that this one is now the Hermitian conjugate of the other one, because it's not like when you have the moment matrix that this could be equal to this one. Now you have matrices, densities, so you have to impose a dagger instead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I believe Bellin's here for the rest of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, her office is on the third floor. We'll try with her. And let's thank her again. Mm-hmm.